pray as we wake up every morning that we apply that to our lives as we live, no matter what we may gain or what we may lose. God, we realize the most important thing is that we have you. Father, I just pray you continue to allow that to be something that we live, not just a song that we sing. And we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All righty, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to continue with the study on the beast that is listed there. We studied last week in the first couple verses, understanding the individual somewhat. We went to Daniel 7, went back and forth a little bit, understanding more about who he is and all that is going on. And we saw, and we ended with two reasons that that we realize that he is going to be, or why he's going to be like he is. And the first one is because he's a symbolized, or he's symbolizing as the beast because of his unrighteous character. Because his true heart and what he is and what he's going to do, what he's going to accomplish, we realize that his inner character is full of unrighteousness. And then it also depicts the violence and the actions that he is going to do. So being called a beast, as we can understand, we can define that word beast in our mind. But that's why he's called a beast. So I believe that's why John, or God, showed him a beast to symbolize how rotten that this man really truly will be, and the evilness that he will have. So we sort of ended up a little bit with that way, looking at the Antichrist coming in. But as we look at the fatal wound now, we're going to see the fatal wound, because John says in verses 3 and 4, says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now, defining this little by little as we go, they're still talking about the Antichrist. And so this Antichrist, and we talked about how this beast looked, and the fourth beast that we saw in Daniel, as we read through Daniel chapter 7 and 7, verses 7 and 8 last week, we know that this beast, the fourth beast of the four heads, the fourth beast was Rome. And so as knowing that, we realized that those four beasts represented the four leaders or the empires of our world. So Rome was the last one that we know of that ruled in that area. And so understanding that beast is still there. That beast is basically representing Rome there. And it was different from the others, because out of the empire of the horns rose, basically, the horns that rose from this beast. Not all of them had the ten horns. Just the Rome, just the fourth beast, just the one that's given to Rome had the ten horns. So understanding the ten horns a little bit, the manner, the form, the power, the influence, everything there was the Roman Empire, is going to be revealed at the time of the tribulation. So this Roman Empire, or the beast of this Roman Empire, is going to be revealed, the leader of it. And so we understand who that leader would be, again, talking of the Antichrist. So that's an important aspect to understand. Basically, it's from the coming of the European conglomeration, the Antichrist will emerge. So everybody believes and knows that the Antichrist is going to come from one of the European areas. And so however that looks, whoever that may be, how we could define that or dice it up, but it's going to come from there, because again, Rome ruled all of those areas. Rome was the leader of many, many territories that we now have broken up between some of the countries. So that is going to be revealed. From there emerges the Antichrist. That's why in Daniel 7, that horn, or that beast, had the ten horns, and from the ten horns come the Antichrist. So explaining that a little bit, maybe, I don't know if that muddies your water or helps you out, I don't know. But that's why the horns are listed there on that beast. And so when we read about, again, the incident of the beast, and this is what's important when we read these two verses, because the incident with the beast that causes much speculation, Nobody is really understanding exactly how this is all going to play out. But what we do know is that several questions exist. One of the heads is fatally wounded. And we know that that beast, or they're talking of the Antichrist, it's going to be fatally wounded. And so when it's being fatally wounded, how's it brought back to life? Does this mean that the Antichrist himself will be wounded, killed, assassination attempt from somebody in the world? Does it mean that the Antichrist himself, or could it be some kind of a fake death and a resurrection just to fool everybody? Could it be a literal death, resurrection, and, you know, shot, dead, back to life? So the Bible doesn't really clearly, other than when you read verse 3, it was wounded to death, deadly wound, was healed, and all the world wondered. So why is that significant? Why do we look at that as something that John would, or God, Christ would want us to understand and know a little bit? When you understand the English text, it's kind of hard to understand it. And again, that's one of the things we have with the translations coming from the Arabic, Greek, and Hebrew, bringing English words into a language that doesn't have the right definitions of English words. So bringing it back and forth. But when you look at the Greek and all of that, the Greek wording is very similar to what was said about Christ. So if you compare the Greek wording in Revelations 5:6, so let's turn back into Revelations 5, looking at verse 6. And again, we know that chapter 4 was the throne that was in heaven. Chapter 5 was about who is worthy of opening the seals. And verse 7 says, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." And that's very important because, again, who was worthy? Who was the one who was able to do this? That's verse 7. Verse 6 defines who that person is. And this is where we find it very interesting. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which were seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth." So we have this understanding of this beast slain coming back to life. That's very significant in the understanding of it, because the key of that is Jesus was slain and resurrected from the dead. So for this individual to come on scene and have the notoriety, have the following that it has, it had to do something dramatic for even the Jews to think it was the Messiah. So what better way is than to mimic the resurrection of Christ? And so I think it's very important, because he's going to be doing these things for a very good reason. It's possible that the Antichrist, basically, again, mimicking similar events to gain the awe, the reverence, because as we read down through in verse 4, "And they worshipped the dragon and gave power unto the beast." They worshipped him, gave him all the power. Why? Why would somebody do that to this person who is the Antichrist, evil beast? Well, it's because at this point, in the beginning of the tribulation, in the beginning of the 3.5 years, not the end 3.5, but the beginning, he needed to win over everybody. In the beginning, he was the peacemaker. He was the one that everybody looked at and said, in awe, this has to be. And so it's interesting, as we see him similarly or mimicking the event in order to gain the awe and reverence of the masses of people, even to the point where the Jews were deceived. Now, it's interesting because Christ even says in Matthew 24:24, "False Christ, false prophets will rise and show their signs and wonders to deceive even the elect." So Matthew 24:24 says, whatever he does and however he does it, it's going to be good enough to deceive even the Jews. So what were the Jews looking for when Christ came? They were looking for the Messiah. They thought Christ was their Messiah. They thought Christ was going to come and destroy who? Rome. They were set up his kingdom. They were going to finally live life nice and great without all the with all the torture, with all the imprisonments, with all their rule, and it didn't happen. So this time, he's going to attempt to do the mimic the same thing. That's why when the scripture says that his fatal wound in verse 3 to death and then healed and all the world wondered, all the world then worshipped, all the world then followed the peacemaker that's going to come on scene beginning in the tribulation time. So putting that verses together and understanding, we realize that even though God has the power to give life to death, we also know that there are going to be, according to Matthew 24:24, there are going to be many false Christs and prophets showing great things. Now, is there any other place in Scripture where we've seen the evil men do some miracles? Moses. That's the one my mind went to. Moses. Because they laid down their rods and it turned into snakes. Aaron laid down his rod, turned into snakes. They laid down their rod, turned into snakes. But the great thing is, Aaron's snake ate them. That just shows that God's more powerful. So there are going to be many signs and wonders. There are going to be many things done. Yes, God is the sustainer of life and death. God holds everybody's last breath. And you're not going to get out of that appointment when he calls that breath home. So knowing that, there are going to be things that God allows to happen because it fits within his plan. And so the Antichrist needs to get all of this recognition, needs to get all these people following him. It's part of God's plan. So is it possible that yes, I think it's very possible. In the last day, there's going to be works and wonders. That's unbelievable because God has given power and authority to who on this earth right now? Who has the power and authority on the earth? Satan does. So, like I said last week, we can't sit back and say, wow, that's going to be a bad day when he's allowed to do that. He's doing it now. The same Satan has been given the power and authority by God to roam this earth, to go to God and accuse you and me of things that we do, to accuse us of, and God then gives approval. God doesn't do it, but God gives approval. Because God, as he tested his son, poor Job. Job didn't do anything to be put into this scenario between God and Satan. Satan came. Satan accused. He only does this because you're blessing him. He would not follow you, bless you. He'll curse you if you take away all this stuff. God said, go ahead and try. Can't take his life, but do whatever. In Job, do you find a list of the things Satan did? Because God said, you're allowed to do this, 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 and this. The answer is no. You're looking at me like, no. God did not tell Satan to take his kids, take his stock, take his servants, take his house, take his money. God did not tell him what to do. God gave him the authority and the power to do whatever. The whatevers of our life hurt. They're hard. They've been approved by God, but they haven't been designed by God. And we need to get that clear because, listen, God doesn't take. God doesn't create evil. God doesn't do the things. He allows them to happen. That same Satan that is going to do this in the tribulation time is doing it now in the world in which we live. So we need to be aware of that. Because as we do this and as we look at this, one of the things we need to understand, just a minute. I don't know if that's bugging you, but it's really bugging me. Okay, thank you. When we realize that he is doing the same thing now, it's why are we surprised at what we see in our world? Why are we surprised at the evil? Why are we surprised at the wars, the battles, the struggles, all the evil, the stuff? Satan has been given the authority and the power by God God said, this is what I want done. God never tells them what to do. He just gives them the ability and the power to do it. Same thing he does in the tribulation time. Only Satan thinks he's winning in the process. Satan thinks he's gaining in the process. But we know that only God has the ability to do that. So the possibility of him being alive, dead, and alive scenario, I believe that's exactly what Scripture teaches. I think that is exactly what's going to happen because he wants to mimic the Messiah. He wants to mimic Christ so that everybody follows him. And so this resurrection of this Antichrist is going to cause four things. There's four causes. One, it's going to cause the world to marvel, and we saw that in verse 3, what they wondered, and all the world wondered after the beast. They're marveling over what he did and what was going on. So that was one. Then verse 4 says, and they worshipped the dragon. They worshipped him, which would be the second one that we see, that they eventually begin, everybody worshipped him. And then it's a strong delusion is what happens. And so again in verse 4, they gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? It's a delusion. Who is like unto this Antichrist? Who can beat him? Who is like him? Didn't God ask Job that same question? When Job began to question, in Job 40 to 42, chapter 40 to 42, you listen to the conversation. God's given Job the old what for. He's telling him, who are you? Where were you when I created all the... Who can come against me? Again, mimicking what God's word is about himself. So again, he's delusion all the people. It's something that they fall to. So that was one of the causes. The third cause, first one's worship, second one's delusion. The third one we find is that people everywhere will be convinced that he is the Messiah, because they're asking those questions. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so they're going to follow him as their leader, and they will rise up new gods to follow. Look at verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemes, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, and in his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power them was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwelled upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And there's so much in there. I almost don't want to open it up to tonight, but we need to at least begin to some of that. Because what's happening here, as we see beginning in verse 5, he again is, they're raising up a new God. And again, they're all looking at him like he is the Messiah, like he is the God. And so, interesting, one thing we want to make sure of that we see in that is that was given several times through that 5 through 10, was given. Again, God gave him the authority and the power. It wasn't given by anybody else. God given that authority was granted to him. Any authority and influence that he has only, again, bestowed upon him, and it'll be for a time. So how long is that power going to be given to him? What does the verse say in, let's see, what verse was it? Verse 5. Oh, the power, great things and blasphemes, the power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. Somebody want to do the math? How long is that? 3.5. That power was given to him for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So those 3.5 years, or the 3.5 months of the years as it's depicted, describes the peaceful time. He come in as a peacemaker, going to enter into the last three and a half as a peace taker. He's going to take away all that stuff. So he's coming in, and we see him coming in, and knowing that it's for the 1,260 days or three and a half years is the concept of all of that. So that times and a half, it's all stated in Scripture, it's going to be that time. But this period, basically, he'll have the power to do three things. And they're listed in those verses. But the first one he has the power to do is to slander God and the saints that are in heaven. He slanders them, blasphemes. And it's interesting. Every now and then when I start researching things, you know, these things will come up. And I saw one that said this person was mocking God and then this happened. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but I said, you know, I don't know what this is. I may not want to see this, but I'm going to watch this. And this one person was up there laughing, mocking, blaspheming God, and fell to the floor seconds later. I know of a true statement where an individual was trying to stop what God was doing in the church and basically said, if you choose this, if you vote this, then I am leaving and I'm taking my money with me. He sat down 3 seconds later, had a heart attack and died. You see, the only reason he's getting away with blaspheming God is because God's allowing it. And God's going to allow it for this period of time, 3.5 years. So he slanders God and the saints in heaven. The second thing we find through that text is he makes war against the saints on earth, basically to conquer them. And that's verse 7. He's going to conquer them. He was given to him to make the war with the saints and to overcome them. He's going to conquer the saints. He's going to, or could conquer the saints, as he does again. And we'll see the mark of the beast is coming up through this text here before too long, and some of the ways in which he's going to do that. The third thing is he causes all the inhabitants on earth to worship him in verse 8. So those three things he's given power to do. There's no way that he would be allowed to do that unless God said it was okay. So he's coming in as a peacemaker. He's going to slander. He's going to blaspheme the God. He's going to make war against the saints. He's going to get everybody to worship him. Everyone's going to follow him. And as we saw in Matthew 24:24, even the elect would be deceived. He's going to be that good. So everyone is going to worship him. This authority will be allowed by God, but it's going to come from Satan. And again, that's what we need to understand. The dragon, or the one of power, is going to give the Antichrist the power. God gave the okay. Satan's going to give the power. Again, Satan, we need to, and again, Flip Wilson, dating myself, I know. Some of you that may not even know who that is. The devil made me do it, that kind of thing. That's not a true statement. The devil influences you, but you always have a choice. So he didn't make you do it. He gave you the opportunity to do it. And a lot of things, like, we're not puppets. God says, I'll let you have opportunity to choose right. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Well, Satan is going to give the Antichrist the power, but only comes from the approval from God. And we need to realize that, because in our world today, what we see, what we disagree with, what we don't like, and you'll be coming up this whole special week for individuals, you're going to see a lot more things you're not going to like. A lot of things going on. Our military is actively doing things to promote this week because their commanders say so. And so there's a lot of crazy stuff coming down the pike really quickly. All been approved by God. Nothing happens in this world without God's approval. And so, no, we're not going to agree. No, we're not going to make sense of it. Even in the passing of our family, passing of people around us, the accidents, the diseases, the things that go on in our lives, it's all been approved by God. And that, can't make sense of that. Don't agree with it. Don't make sense of it. But God's sovereignty never stops. And that's encouraging to me. Because even though we're going to go through some things, even though it's going to hurt and be hard in life, we also know that God is going to see us through it. God is going to carry us. God is going to manage it for us. And so to me, that's encouraging. But when the authority was given from Satan, but allowed by God, very important. The next thing we need to understand is during the first 3.5 years, again, he comes as a peacemaker. The power were given to him. And this is what's interesting. As I was studying through this, I wrote this down. The armies of Russia, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and other nations that seek to plummet Israel will be defeated. Now, those are names we know. Those are countries and areas we know. It's not talking about the biblical definitions of territory. It's talking about Rome Empire. It's talking about who now occupies the territory of Roman Empire. All of those nations are going to come against Israel to destroy them. That's why in the beginning of the war on October 7th of last year, when the war with Israel and Hamas started, you heard the phrase, this is the Ezekiel war. This is the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. No, it's not. It is not that war. That war will come during the tribulation time. If the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war is now going on, we all miss the rapture. That ain't a good thing. We did not miss the rapture. So that war is not happening. That's not the that battle will come. But it's going to come by all of those armies coming against. The great defeat will provide the opportunity for the Antichrist to say, hey, let's get peace. Let's have peace in this. So let's put that together. If the Antichrist is going to come on scene because those countries and nations are going to be trying to destroy Israel, they are going to be defeated. And in that defeat, Satan, Antichrist, is going to stand up and say, okay, come on, let's all get together now. Do you know how that could happen tomorrow? The war between Ukraine and Russia, the war that Israel's facing now, how many other nations are involved in the backing of all the other ones coming against Israel? I'm like, whoo, I could retire in heaven. That's all right. I like that. It seems to be getting closer and closer, but we're not in the end times. We are not in the tribulation times. Because there's way too much else that has to happen first. So we need to understand that because I think it's very important. The second thing we need to realize is that the final 3.5 years of war and tribulation, the Antichrist will turn again from the peacemaker to the peace taker. And we realize that as all that is going on, also as we looked at last week, the Antichrist is going to be the last ruler the earth will ever know. Because when Christ returns, he's done. And basically, God will rule and reign forever and ever. So he's going to be the last one on earth. So it's to me, I think that's very important because the Antichrist, when the last 3.5 years, he is going to sit on the throne of God in the temple. He is going to, again, mimic and mock that he is the Messiah, that he is God. And again, it's only going to be giving him more status, if you say. But basically, the question then lies, who's going to fall for all the lies of the Antichrist? The answer is everyone. Everyone in that tribulation time is going to fall for, again, except one group of people. I can't even. 144,000 are sealed. But there's another group of people in the whole tribulation time. 144,000, but there is more. What does verse 8 state? Names that are written in the book of life. And when were those names written? Before the foundations of the world. Wait a minute. I thought I had a free will to choose. God knew I was going to be saved before he even created the earth. Absolutely. And you will be very grateful that you're here saved and your name was written in the book before he created the earth. Now, how does all that work? Do you think God knows your choices? You talk about the sovereignty and the wisdom of God. No, we're not puppets. Yes, we have choice. Yes, we have free will. foundation of the world, because he knew we would choose it in our free will. So you can put the Arminian to it, you can put the Calvinist to it, you can put whatever you want to it, doesn't matter to me. Because I know my name was wrote down before God ever created this earth. And I was chosen before the foundations of this earth was ever born, created. God didn't just have a thought. God had a game plan from the beginning to the end and every detail in between. And so that verse, that group is not going to be deceived and delusioned. Because why? Because as we study through the rest of Revelations, we realize that there is going to be a large multitude, mass people of Gentiles saved during tribulation time. Because they're not going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to be martyred. Revelation 6 says the souls of the saints who were martyred during the tribulation time were under the altar crying out to God, how long, how long? And what did God tell them? Patience. The last one has not been killed yet. So again, we got to understand, this isn't a event. This is events. And it goes back and forth, and it describes what's going on here, and it describes this person. And so understanding that every revelation is not a chronological event. It's showing you what's happening. It's showing you the people involved in it. And so when we realize at this point, when it mentions the book of life, obviously that's where God has listed all the names who belong to him before the foundations of the world. That completely blows my mind. And I'm not going to get into the thing, well, if God said my name is written before then, I couldn't choose nothing else but God. No, because you're playing on God's wisdom. God knew what I would choose in my free will. Therefore, he wrote my name down before he ever created anything. To me, that's when you read in the scriptures about God choosing, about God's elect, about God knowing. It's not about God at the moment. God knew all of our free wills, created them. God knew all of our choices. My choice, no matter what I do in life, is not going to outplay the plan that God had before the foundations of the world. Why? Because he knew my choices. And we're not puppets, so that he changes my choices. He knows my free will choice, therefore orchestrates it all out. That's the best I can give you. I can't define it any better than that. I don't know how if anybody else can. But it's, to me, it's amazing when we think, God, can you handle this? God, did you forget me, God? God, do you know how much I'm hurting? God, do you know? Well, yes, he knows. But he knew long before you ever knew it. He knew long before you ever experienced it. And that's why we trust our God in the midst of the storms. That's why we trust him, as we saw Sunday night, the dark clouds that entered into the temple and Solomon opened up the temple doors. It's in the dark clouds of our life. God knows all that. Nothing takes him by surprise. So therefore, no matter how it hurts, how we struggle with it, that's all human, that's all normal, and we're going to do that. But ultimately, we got to hang on the wisdom of God, knowing that we're going to make it through it. That's why it's a valley open on both ends and season of life we go through. So all that being said, we're going to look into the false prophets as we go into verse 11 and following as we pick up here next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the understanding you do give. Father, we're not going to understand everything as maybe we would want to, but Father, we're going to understand enough to know that we can trust you more than we do. We can just rest in your care more than we do. And God, we just really do need to get out of the way at times and allow you to lead us and to guide us as you promised you would. And God, I pray as we just understand that it's not just in the tribulation time that all this is going on. We know that Satan is roaming this earth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we also know that he's coming to you and holding us accountable. saying, what about this one? What about that one? Can I do this? Can I do that? And Father, we live in a broken world that Satan uses many different things to try to get us away from you. Lord, I just pray that our faith strengthens because of this understanding and that we can continue to just hang on to you in the days that we live. And God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All right, appreciate that study.